buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and I'm here to help you with your car questions and your car problems. For the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about one subject. Well, we can talk about anything you want, but I'm especially good with cars. And I'm not allowed to go into the political arena. Oh, help us, Lord, if we go there. But nevertheless, we're not going that way. We're not going to go into politics or religion. We're just going to stick with cars and anything else that I can dredge up to make you smile today. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years of experience working on both domestic and import cars, gas and diesel. Kurtz can really work out on anything. He's on I-17 in Bell, just on the east side of I-17. They've been around since 1992, and they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. And again, I-17 and Bell, just east on the north side of the road. And I promise you'll be happy, and you'll understand why I can recommend Kurtz Auto Repair. If you've listened to the radio show for any length of time, I tease engineers. And sometimes I make them mad. And I don't really mean to, because even when I tease the engineers, I usually say that the people that most agree with me in a very silent majority is the wives. And I get lots of emails from the wives. You've named my husband and this and that. But I would never want you to think that I'm painting all the engineers with the same brush, no more than I want you or anybody, or I'll let you or anybody else paint my entire industry with a bad brush. I'm sure there's good engineers and there's bad. They just have some of them have idiosyncrasies that I think are funny. They're just a little perfect. And I'm not. And maybe I'm jealous. I don't know what it is, but to those engineers that I may have offended or anything like that, then please accept my sincere apology. But I'm not going to quit, because you guys just fun to pick on. But nevertheless, all right, I have something for you that every once in a while you get something in an email that you just think is doggone funny. This is just released from the Associated Press. Osama bin Laden was living with three wives in one compound, and he never left that house for 5 years. Osama bin Laden was living with three wives in one compound, and he never left that house for 5 years. It's now believed he called the Navy SEALs himself. Come on, it's just that kind of a day. What can we say? All right, here's something that just, it makes me laugh, and it's kind of ironic. It's one of those, beep, 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 beep. Your airbag may not be real. The Obama administration, we said we're not going to politics, but this is what it says, has issued a public warning that millions of vehicles that have undergone repairs where airbag was replaced could have counterfeit replacement airbags. And what caught my thing there was millions of vehicles. Then it goes on down and buried somewhere else. It says recent test of 11 fakes said that they were fake. So now we got we got millions of vehicles, but right now we have 11. Keep track of this now. Then it only involves vehicle again within the last 3 years. And then you go over here and it says the government's been investigating the problem for a number of years and intercepted a shipment of 68 counterfeit airbags heading to an address in Tennessee in September 2008. And then they said another 1,100 fakes were intercepted during a raid in North Carolina. So we got 68 and 163 and 11. But we got millions of vehicles out there. And then buried in the thing, it says NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the guys from that say we're the government and we're here to help you, says it believes the vast majority of replacement parts are genuine and that this issue affects less than 0.1%. So that's 0.1% of the fleet of vehicles in the United States. How did we get from millions of vehicles to 0.1%, and we can't even account for 1,500 fake airbags? Now, I agree it's an important issue. It's just, how can we, where's the fact checkers on stuff like this? It drives me crazy. They say that the at-risk vehicles are Acuras, Audis, Beamers, Buicks, Chevys, or it's pretty much everybody, but they have a list on the internet and you can look through. Here's the deal. If your airbag exploded or any of the airbags have been replaced over the last 3 years or so, then you need to be a part of the people who are saying, hey, how are you going to check my airbags out? And right now our industry hasn't decided how we're going to check your airbags. Do we weigh them? Do we x-ray them? How do we know they're going to pop when they need to pop? How do we know there's an airbag in there? How do we know that they just didn't stuff the airbag in there and then use super glue on the seams and put it all back together? How do we know? So, I don't know how they're going to figure it out. We beat it to death. The best dealerships to work for in 2012, and this is from the employees, the best dealerships to work for, they're in by state. But Arizona has one. The Schumacher European Mercedes-Benz. Schumacher European Mercedes-Benz in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area. That says a lot. And there's someone at the door. Hang on. Oh, who's at the door today?
We got Jerry at the door waiting to get in.
Tell him just hang on just 1 second. The idea is that when your employees vote you as a great place to work, I think that says a lot about you. So if we had any canned applause, we'd play it right now, but we don't. But congratulations to Schumacher European. I like that. I like the fact that they won that award. All righty, Jerry, you're up first, buddy. How can we help you today?
Yeah. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I have a 2002 Chevy Blazer, and every so often, well, it happened twice now, about 6 weeks apart. It just will not start air, and it cranks well. It's got good battery. And it cranks, but it won't start until it seems like it's after maybe a period of 3 hours, 4 hours, or maybe even less.
Okay.
Then it'll start.
Okay. It here's what you need to... First of all, when I'm asking you to help us, let me put it to you in terms you can understand. If you want to save yourself what effectively could be $100 to $300 worth of diagnostic time, then you need to help us.
Sure.
Okay? So it's worth it. We need to know if this is spark or fuel. That's all. That's all we need to know. If is it spark or is it fuel?
Well, how do you know that?
How are you going to know that?
I took off a plug wire and I get spark.
So you don't have any fuel?
Right.
Okay.
It seems like it's in the fuel pump and in the relay.
All right. How many miles are on the car?
180, I think.
Have you ever done a fuel pump?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's what you can do. When you park the car, if you have a leaking injector, or if you have a bad fuel pressure regulator, or if the check valve in the fuel pump isn't working, you'll lose pressure in the system, and you need about 40 pounds. So what happens is when you crank it, you don't have enough pressure. And so every time you turn the key, it gets a little bit more pressure. So if you hit the key and it cranks, and it's not going to catch because you'll know it right off the bat, I want you just to turn the key off, turn the key on, count to three, and then turn it off. Don't go to crank, just on.
Yeah.
And I want you to cycle the key 3, 4, 5 times.
Yeah.
And what you're going to do while you count to three is when you turn the key on, the computer turns on the fuel pump, but if it doesn't see the engine crank within 3 to 5 seconds, it shuts the fuel pump off. So I don't want you to keep the key on more than 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pressurize that cooling system or the fuel system. Then if the fifth or sixth time you hit the key and you go into the crank mode, boom, it starts right up. Then we have a leaking injector. Now, the leaking injector will typically give you a fuel smell after the car starts because we fill the cylinder full of gas. We don't have any fuel pressure. And so when we send that out the motor in the tailpipe through the catalytic converter, it'll smell sulfury or it'll smell gassy.
Never smelled that.
Okay. Then the second thing is the fuel pressure regulator. Now, it's kind of easy to check. If you know where it is, it's usually on the fuel rail, and it's at the end of the fuel rail. So the fuel is brought forth by the fuel pump through the fuel filter, and then it fills the fuel rail, and the rail fills or makes gasoline accessible to all the injectors. At the end of that, there's a pressure. If you pull the vacuum hose off that pressure and you look inside of it with a flashlight, if it's wet or if it smells like gas, then that fuel pressure regulator is bad. We had a guy come into the shop the other day, and he said, "This is what I've got." He described you. And our shop foreman walked outside. He says, "Come on." He pulled the line off, and gasoline just poured out of that fuel pressure regulator. He said, "That's what it is." Now, it could be the check valve, but that you're going to have to get a gas gauge or a fuel pressure gauge to determine that.
Okay, I already rented one.
Okay, and so when you drive it, I want you to attach it, and I want you to put it underneath the windshield wiper and duct tape it to the windshield. And I want you to monitor the fuel pressure every time you turn the key on. And you're obviously going to have to park the car someplace safe so nobody steals the gauge.
Yeah.
But that's what you have to do. And then I'll tell you what. If I'm right, and you had spark, if I'm right, sooner or later you'll say, every time that gauge is under 28 pounds, this thing ain't going to start. But if I keep cycling the key, about the third time, poof, it goes to 40, then you start it right up. You'll say, okay, I'm there. Now, if you pull this off, it's guaranteed to save you $125,
$150. Yeah.
Guaranteed. And all you have to do is you don't tell them what's wrong.
1 minute.
You tell them what the symptoms were. Okay? Here's what was going on. I had spark, and here's what I found out with that gauge. So if you take it from here, and that's what's important. All righty? Jerry, good luck to you. Thank you very much. And if you need a car shop and you don't already have one, then just go to marksalem.com, and there's a list of shops there. I was listening to Warren on the House Talk show the hour before us, and he talked about that he had a referral that turned ugly on him. He had somebody who he was endorsing, somebody who he was referring, and their product or their service was not up to par. And so he's not doing that anymore. That's important. Because you don't hear about Angie's List kicking anybody off, or Yelp kicking anybody off, or even your Better Business Bureau kicking anybody off. When you got the spine to kick somebody off, the list means something. We'll be right back right after this.
Mark Salem has a friend at Thunderbird Automotive, and so do you.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and for the next 2 hours, up until noon, we're going to talk about cars, and you're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. And Darwin, I'll be with you in just 1 second. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and now's the time. I get lots of emails where people say, "I just didn't call in," or "I didn't think I could get in," but really and truly you can, because that doorbell rings quite a bit. Alrighty, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto. Tom owns Action Auto, and it's a family-owned and operated business, been serving the Deer Valley area since 1983. He can fix anything, makes and models, diesels, gas, whatever you want. All the technicians are at Action Auto, or ASE L1 certified, which is an advanced performance, and that's pretty special. It's also a Technic shop, which is another designation that says that he does good work. He offers free roadside service, towing, and coast-to-coast 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty. Then he's got a rewards program that you can accumulate points to receive discounts for future repairs. Deer Valley, I-17 and Deer Valley Road. Action Auto, just west of I-17 on Deer Valley. Give them a try and you'll know why I refer them, and I promise you'll be a satisfied customer. Darwin, how are you today? What can we do for you?
I'm doing real fine, Mark, and I'm so tickled to hear you're still on the air now that I'm back from my summer vacation. Yay.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
You betcha. Okay, I don't know if you remember, I made this call about my 91 one-ton Dodge van with about 69,000 miles on it. It had an oil consumption problem, and you thought maybe it'd be the rings and they would break free by the time I got up there. It took me 10 quarts of oil up, 10 quarts of oil back. And so I with some friends up there in Rapid City, South Dakota. They turned me on to this guy who evidently was born in a 360 Chrysler engine. He builds them, he races them. The man just knows them inside and out. So I went to him with my description of the problem. He immediately figured it would be the deteriorated gasket between the intake manifold and the head. I think you mentioned that as one of the possibilities.
We talked about checking the vacuum at the dipstick tube.
Yeah. But anyway, I still have the problem. So what I need to know from you is where is the place that I can take it that will fix it and not guess it.
Okay. Where do you live? What part of town are you in?
Greenfield and Southern here in Mesa.
Okay. Out there in Greenfield and Southern, I got Jerry's Auto Service on Main, east of Sossaman.
Jerry's Auto?
Yeah, Jerry's Auto, Main, east of Sossaman. I've got Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street in Stapley. Here, I want you to think about this, okay? Now follow me on this. Your 360 motor has a PCV valve system on it, positive crankcase ventilation. All we want to do is we want to suck the fumes out of the motor and send them back through the motor. Kind of like a circle, okay?
Okay.
Now, I'm going to keep the suction there, but I'm going to close all the ports off. And I'm going to put a vacuum gauge on the dipstick tube. I'm going to pull the dipstick out, and I'm going to put a vacuum gauge right on the tube. Now, when I start that motor, if that motor truly has an intake gasket leak, and it's going to be where the gasket hits the head, but it's going to be sucking oil out of the valley. It has nothing to do with the cylinders. And actually, you could find out where the oil consumption is being sucked into the cylinder, because that one or two spark plugs will be really black. So,
funny. We were up there in Colorado, and our engine light came on. We just happened to get to a Chrysler dealer, and they said the number one spark plug and wire is bad.
Okay, that's it. That's where the leak's at. So, well, number one's going to be on the passenger side or the driver's side. I don't know which. But the idea is that you can diagnose it. Now, if you go to Thompson's or you go to Jerry's and they don't understand this test, I want you to have them call me, because I will explain it to them. This will tell us definitively if that gasket's bad. Now, if you've only got one cylinder, then it isn't the rings, it isn't the pistons, it isn't the walls, the cylinders. You got one cylinder drawing a lot of oil. And obviously, the intake manifold is the only common source that would do that. So I'm moving up. Now that you tell me you've had a one spark plug and supposedly wire problem with the check engine light, and they fixed it and the check engine light went away, then that's where your leak's at.
No, they didn't fix it. They didn't have time. It was on a Saturday. But see, we were climbing a little bit of a hill, and it would stutter and shudder, and then I pulled over the side and let it calm down and, you know, checked what I thought I could. And then we started back up, and then only did that two or three more times during the whole trip, but we haven't had a problem with it since. But the light is still on, but when they did that electronics check, that's what they said the problem was.
All right. And what could be happening here is that everything is timed on the computerized cars. Everything's timed off the first cylinder.
Okay.
And so what really drives us crazy is when everything points to the first cylinder of the firing order, which is always number one, and it turns out to be number six because the computer lost track of where number one was at. So if I was doing the job, I'd pull number one, and if it was all carboned up and clearly had been using oil, then I'd run my vacuum test on the motor at idle, and then I'd bid the intake and pull it. Those guys could do that for you.
Yeah, they're going to have to, because I don't have the equipment or place to do anything like this.
And this is going to be easy, because once they pull the intake off, they'll see where the gasket problem is. And they're going to clean up the side of the heads on the intake ports on both sides. They're going to clean up the intake manifold. They're going to throw it in a big parts washer, big dishwasher. It's going to come out spotless. They're going to put it all back together, torque it, silicone, new gaskets and everything. I would use Felpro gaskets. They may or may not agree with me, but whatever they pick, you can be a part of that pick. I wouldn't tell them what gasket to use, but I'd at least ask them and say,
what
why do you use
a gasket?
I'd use a Felpro.
Felpro.
Yeah. And we don't want to tell them what kind of gasket to use. We just want to ask them. Because some of them are better than others. And then the second question is, okay, well, you like ABC gaskets. You've had good luck with them, right? And if the gasket fails, I don't have to worry about whether it's your fault or the gasket's fault. I'm going to get it warrantied, right? So I don't have to. I don't have to be the do the autopsy on it to find out what failed, whether you messed it up or whether the gasket itself was bad. I just want it taken care of. That's what you want. Okay.
Well, can I tell them that you recommended that Celpro?
Oh, yeah, and anytime any of you can, because if you walk into a shop and you say, "I'm here because Mark Salem recommended me,"
exactly.
It puts a little bit more pressure on them. But I want to tell you, I'm proud of all my guys. They're great. I've got a $5,000 deal on my website. If you're not happy and you go through this Better Business Bureau process that I've laid out, and if the bureau tells them to make a refund or give you money back, and they don't, I will. But I've never done that.
This is strange. There is no oil leaks. There's not a drop of oil leak in any place. And at any time, from a cold start, a hot start, or driving down the highway accelerating or deaccelerating, I was watching the exhaust pipe close. Never, ever even saw a wisp of oil. So I don't get it. How it can consume a quart of oil in 400 miles and I never seen it.
And the answer to that will be after we fix it. Because here's the bad news. The possibility exists that once we get that spark plug cleaned up, once we get that cylinder cleaned up, then that catalytic converter is going to get really hot, and it's going to try to consume all those quarts of oil that have gone through the exhaust and cause your catalytic converter to fail. So you have a 50-50 chance of the catalytic converter, instead of being doused in oil and never really coming to life with heat, now that we've stopped the oil leak, we're going to bring it to life with heat, and you have about a 30% chance, 25-30% chance of the catalytic converter failing after you get this fixed.
And what happens when it fails?
You lose all power, and the car will hardly get out of its way. You'll feel like that you have the Queen Mary attached to the rear bumper. I got to run, but thank you very much. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. 508-0960 for anybody out there that has a car question, then dial up now. If not, you have to listen to me for the next 2 hours, and I'm going to talk about my grandkids and stuff if you want to hang around for that.
Old tape and a color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it up and over a period
Welcome
of
back,
time,
everybody. 10:34, 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem here, Under the Hood, every Saturday from 10 to noon. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Bob and Steve over there at Quality Transmission are really experts. They're not going to take your car apart and then give you an estimate, because they're smarter than that. And that's a devious, underhanded thing to do to somebody. They're capable of driving your car with you. You show them what's going on, then they want to drive, but you're going to be there. Oftentimes, they do that for free. So you can't really go wrong. Plus, he's been around a long time. He flew jets in the Vietnam War. He's as honest as the day is long. Quality Transmission. Tempe on McClintock, just north of University. No matter where you live, they're worth the drive. And again, you can tell them I sent them. All righty. Oh, somebody's at the door. Well, who is there now?
We've got Al waiting to ask you a question.
Okay, Al, good morning to you. How are you? And I'm here to help you.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Good. Thank you very much.
Good. I've got a brand new 2012 Chevy Sonic.
Okay.
It has a gauge on the dash that measures average miles per gallon.
Okay.
And since new, it's been consistently 23% higher, it reads, about 7 miles per gallon higher. So, for instance, the gauge will say on the last tank I got 40 miles per gallon, and I do a manual calculation the old-fashioned way, you know, where I write down how many gallons I put in and how many miles I've driven and do the division, and it comes to 33. So it's pretty consistently 7 miles per gallon off. Now, I've taken it into Chevrolet twice, and they tell me there's nothing wrong with it and that they can't fix it.
Okay, how many miles are on it?
Right now it has about 5,000. Okay. When I originally took it in to them, there was only 2,000 miles on the car.
Okay. Here's what they wanted to say, but they probably too nice. It's going to take a while for that computer to get closer. It just is brand new, and it's going to do it based on your driving habits. I can give you a great example. I have a 2005 diesel truck with that same gauge, and it gives you either both instant and long-term average, what we call fuel trim.
Right.
And my wife will drive my truck, and she'll mess it up, and she'll drive it like a little girl, and she's easy on the throttle. And so when I get in it, after she's had it for a day or two, maybe she's running some horses somewhere, it doesn't shift good. It doesn't run good. She has thoroughly messed up the computer. And her fuel economy will be a lot better than mine. So almost immediately, the instant average will change. And then the range that I have on my speedometer, that'll change. So I can get into it, and she's got 600 miles range. And within 4 or 5 miles, I've dropped to 460. This is really, if there's a problem with the Sonic, then they'll come up with a software update here soon. But I think really is I think you should wait for a while. I agree with you that that's kind of an uncomfortable situation, because seven miles per gallon is, what, a third to a quarter difference?
So, well, it comes to 23%, according to the calculations I've done.
Yeah, and I do both. And I can tell you that my pickup truck is right on the money, and my motorhome's right on the money, and her car is right on the money. It just, I think it's just going to take time for the computer to determine everything. Plus, the computer's never even been through a climate change yet. I mean, you haven't had it that long. I'm not defending them, but I think it'll be a shame if you go in and they start guessing and changing parameters that you'll be sorry for later. I'm just saying you should wait a while. Now, let me ask you, do you fill it up to the same spot every time?
I do. I fill it up to where the gas nozzle shuts off automatically.
One time?
One time.
Okay. All right.
Even asked me to do it over 5 tanks of gas, which I have done. And surprisingly, it's the same error rate, about 23% and 7 miles per gallon.
Okay, nobody's changed the tires. Nobody's changed the wheels.
Nope, everything's as it came from the factory.
Okay, I would be interested in having, just before you're going to take a trip, I want you to stuff the tank.
To do what?
I want you to stuff the tank.
Okay.
Just before you're going to take a trip.
After it shuts off, just keep trying to pull more into it?
Yeah, but I want you to pay attention to how much more it goes in.
Okay.
Because if you say, Mark, it's like 2 more gallons or 3 more gallons on a 12-gallon tank, maybe that math works.
30 seconds.
But I only want you to do it when you're going to take a trip, because I want to peel that gas that we've stuffed in the tank off pretty quickly. So I want you to just do it before you take a long trip, like you're going to go to Tucson or something, where we can drop that pressure down. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, 508-0960. The doorbell can ring for you, and we'll help you to do the best we can. Al, I'll have one more comment when we come back, but I'm going to have to think about this for a minute, so we'll take a break.
Did you know?
Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10. We'll be here until noon. I was going to say midnight, but no. We're going to be here till noon, and you're always welcome to call anytime you want, 602-508-0960, 508-0960. We have open lines available, and I know Susan's on hold, and she's my next caller. But I want to talk about Phoenix Body Works up in North Phoenix. Greg May, the owner, will be your advocate if you have an insurance claim, and that's really important. You don't really understand how important that is. You see, if the body shop, if 70, 80, 90% of the body shop's business is from ABC Insurance, when ABC asks the body shop to cut a corner and save them some money, ask yourself, is that going to happen? So the answer is number one, Arizona law says you can take it where you want it. And number two, you have to find a body shop that will advocate for you and not your insurance company. And all you really want is nothing more or less than put me back the way you found me. That's important. So Greg May knows how to do that. He knows how to work with insurance companies. He can put the car back together the right way on time and at an affordable price with quality parts, known quality parts. It's important to put your vehicle back to pre-accident condition. I'm sure you'll agree with me. I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for many, many years, and I've heard nothing but happy comments from people who had their car repaired there. and that's the reason why they're on my best car repair shop list. They're located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley, and you can reach them Monday through Friday and Saturday from 9 to 12. Half a block north of Deer Valley Road, off the I-17, Phoenix Body Works. Real quick, in this morning's paper, I think it said one of the convenience stores was selling soda pop in either a red a cup or a blue cup. I guess red indicates the Republicans and the blue cup represents the Democrats. I think it said, and I went through it kind of fast, I think it said that this convenience store chain had come to the conclusion that Obama is going to take Arizona. I suggest, you see, I know my two brothers, and both of them would walk out of a Circle K or a 7-Eleven with an Obama cup just to drive everybody and their families crazy. They would go to the person at the office that has the hardest part, and they could do it a Republican. So they've got a Democrat in the office, and they buy the Republican cup and fill it full of iced tea and set it on his desk. So I suggest to you that how many cups have been sold that are red or blue has nothing to do with what the turnout of the election is going to be, but along with KKNT, I'm asking you to vote. Just vote. I'm not telling you how. Just please vote. All right, Susan, you're up, babe. How are you? I didn't mean to say babe. I'm sorry.
Good. How are you today?
I'm good.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick question. In June of this year, I bought a 2003 Honda CR-V, and I've been doing web searches and stuff about oil changes and the radiator coolant. Do I have to take this to the Honda dealer for service, or can I take it to other shops? Or
you can take it anywhere you want. Let me divide the car repair industry into halves. On the left side, we have maintenance, and that's what you're talking about. On the right side, we have diagnose and repair. They are completely different things. A customer called the other day and says, I want to buy a Saab. And I said to him, go ahead. But I'm not going to be able to provide you 100% because Saab doesn't even represent 1/110th of a percent of all the cars on the road. And so I can't afford to buy particular electronic equipment to talk to the computer on your Saab that may cost $3,000-$5,000 and only use it once every 3 years. So on the diagnose and repair, if it's a diagnose and repair, the water pump, it's leaking, bingo, I'm there. But every time you open the door, the radio station changes, you're going to be best served at the dealer. For oil changes, I can handle. And so can everybody else. Tire
what
repair.
What about the radiator? They talk about, I'm not, you know, a mechanic, obviously, mm-hmm. but they talk about their radiator being aluminum and you should use only their coolant.
Yeah.
So is that just sales for Honda?
Let's not talk about Honda, but all your answer is they all say the same thing, and it's all a bunch of BS. Okay? There's no such thing as a factory anywhere in the world that has Honda on the doors that makes coolant. They buy it from somebody else.
Okay.
Your Honda is made up by low bidders, just like my Chevy is made up by... And Susan, don't tell anybody this, but Ford is made up of the lowest bid, too.
Okay.
But the idea is let me answer your question. The aluminum radiators are really great. They last a whole lot longer than the copper ones. What does your owner's manual say on your 2003 that you should change the coolant? How often? Once a year? Or?
Yeah, and they didn't give me the manuals. I had to quickly. My car had burned, so I had to shop and I tried to shop as close to the price range as I had. And I love this CR-V. I mean, it's been great so far, but. It sounds like, you know, you've got to take it to Honda, but I don't believe
that's not true for a lot of reasons. And let me just draw the distinction. I would send my mother to her dealer if the problem is one I've never seen before, because they only work on Chevys, Fords, Hondas, Toyotas. Those guys are really, really good on those cars. So if mom says that every 3 or 4 days there's this huge puff of white smoke out of my tailpipe and it's scaring me to death, I might very well say, Mom, go to the dealer and ask them about that. But when it comes to changing your coolant and when it comes to changing your oil and doing your brakes and doing your normal maintenance, you should call, let me give you a hint. You call the Honda dealer and ask them how much an owner's manual is for your 2003 CR-V. Then I want you to go to helminc.com, helminc.com, and see how much an owner manual costs. Whoever's cheaper, buy it there.
Okay.
Helm has everybody's owner's manual, and I think they are the manufacturers of the manuals. And another thing, your 2003, Susan, that manual could very well go from 2000 or 2000 all the way up to 2006, and they may not have changed a single thing on it. But when you get your manual, if it says 100,000-mile coolant, there's lots of them out there that will work fine with your aluminum radiator. I object to car manufacturers suggesting that I can only put a Toyota oil filter on your car because there is no such thing as a Toyota oil filter, which was the days of old. It's not something that has occurred lately, but it's something that I was, it's something that affected me in my younger years in the 70s when Toyota told everybody they had to have a filter. There's also a law that says if you say that this vacuum cleaner can only use this bag, you have to provide it for free. So, let me ask you, what car burned? What kind of car was it?
Well, I've had it for 6 years and loved it. I had a little 03 Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
And I think it was a battery connection. Nobody ever told me. It just caught on fire. A light came on, and I was going to run it over to have it checked before I could get there. It had smoke, and it was on fire under the hood. But I had never had a day's problem with the car.
Okay. Now, who serviced that car?
I had always taken it to a Jiffy Lube.
Okay. Now, Jiffy Lube is a good place for the quick in and out oil change.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys now recognize, like we all do, that there's no money in oil changes. So now we are seeing a substantial increase in you need a transmission flush, you need a cooling system flush.
Upsell.
And I could entertain you for hours about what some of the things that I tell people to do. You know, the other day I went and I took a car into a shop and I said, he says, oh, your shocks are bad. And I said, okay. So I said, which car is yours outside? Why? I want to see your car. Why? I just want to see your car. Why are you trying to hide it from me? You can stand in front of the license plate, but I want to see what your shocks look like. Because you say mine's got some oil on them. You showed me that there's just a little bit of moisture here, but I want to see what your shocks look like. And he says, no, you need to get out of here.
So, oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
And so typical. I know. I get tired of all the upsell. Well, Mark, where do you recommend? I'm not a wealthy woman, obviously. I just, want to maintain my car.
Okay. Where you at?
For radiator coolant, I noticed it was really low, when you open the extra tank, the little press, it's way down in there, so I ran it down to the local Honda dealer where I bought it, and they said, oh, don't worry about that, you've got it in the radiator, and I wanted them to top it off because I was taking a trip, and they just kind of blew me off, so I wasn't really happy.
No, let me tell you that there is a low mark and a high mark in the overflow jug, and when the car gets hot, the level rises substantially. And when the car cools off in the next morning, the level's very low the next morning. We expect, depending on the size of the jug, we expect movement up and down. Mm-hmm. What he said to you was right, but he didn't say it in the right way. Susan, I know that the bucket's low, but as long as the bottom of the bucket has coolant in it, and I just touched the upper radiator hose, and it's very cold, so you haven't been driving this very long, I am perfectly okay with where it's at because it's going to grow as the car gets hotter. So, Susan, I'm okay because the bottom is covered by an inch, and I'm okay with that. So, really, if you're going to go to Disneyland and you want to take my kids with you, fine, you can, because I know you're going to make it there and back. So I'm trying to put you in a comfort zone, but no, it's okay. They just didn't do that. Or why not just go get a half a gallon of coolant and dump it in there and say, where do you do business? Well, I do it at Jiffy Lube. Well, we'll be on and on and on. Why not take that as an opportunity to instill trust in the shop?
Exactly.
All right, where do you live?
I don't really have. I'm right off 7th Avenue and Grover's.
Where's Grover's?
Which is between Union Hills and Bell Road.
Oh, okay. So you're in the Central Avenue corridor. 12th Street in Glendale, 41st Street in Bell Road. Both of those are Kelly Clark's. They're 12th in Glendale, a little south of you, and then Bell Road and 41st Street, a little north and a little east of you. Where do you work?
I don't currently. I'm kind of semi-retired right now.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Taking it easy.
But just go to marksalem.com. There's body shop, transmission shops, and general repair shops, and you can pick anyone you want. And it's like I said, it's okay to say I'm here because Mark Salem sent me.
I will.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's so helpful.
You betcha. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All righty. And and I want to tell you something else, all of you, is if my shop and other shops could look into the future, we wouldn't be telling you that you're going to have a blowout on your car. We'd be going to Las Vegas. So I have this old motorhome. It's a 94 Bounder, but I love it, and it's really cheap to insure, and it serves my wife and I perfectly. So we're going to go to Texas, look at some horses, and go to a couple barn sales and stuff. And on the way back, my son, before we left, he says, "Dad, I want to put some tires in the back of the motorhome." And I said, "Son, they're really okay." He says, "No, Dad." He said, I just feel better. Can I put four tires on it?" And I said, "No." I said, "I have a good spare, and I feel comfortable." And I said, "As I get older, I don't need to travel at 90 miles or not Mach 7. 65, 70 is fine with me." "Okay, Dad, okay." Outside El Paso on our way home, my wife and I are enjoying the evening. It's dark. And all of a sudden, there's an explosion like an atomic bomb.
2 minutes.
And she looks at me, and I look at her, and I'm in the fast lane, and I'm not going very fast. But I recognize that everybody behind me is really clamping on the brakes. They know what's going on. They saw it. So I turn on my ride signal, and I slowly move to the right, get off the road. She says, "You're going to change it?" And I said, "Yep, I sure am, because I can still do that." So I jacked up the thing, and I found out that the lug wrench I have doesn't fit it. So I had to call a truck, and $120 later, he put my spare on. So when I got home, I said, "Down, oh, we had a great trip and all that kind of stuff, my son Alan." I said, "But you know what? You're right. So why don't you just go ahead and order four tires?" And he goes, "Why? Because you blew one on the trip." And I said, "Your mom already snitched me off?" And she says, "Oh, yeah." She says she was on Facebook within minutes after you blew the tire saying that we should have had Alan put the tire, or something like that. I don't know. Nevertheless, it's true. I did have a blowout, and I'm the car guy.
1 minute.
I'm the car guy. I'm not supposed to have that. And trust me, if I could make your trip uneventful, I'd move heaven and earth to do it. But if we tell you that everything's okay and a hose blows on your trip, please cut us a little slack, because we're not purposely sending you out with a defect. We truly are looking. But it's really the trip. You know, you're going to go to Disneyland. That's 8 hours over and 8 hours back if you drive the speed limit. And I only have to, and that's not even an oil change. So, you know, I'm going to look like, will this car make it for the next 2 or 3 months is really all I have to look at. So trust me when I tell you, if we can, we will. All of us at marksalem.com. So please wear your seatbelt. Please don't drink and drive. And if somebody does something nice for you, the weather is perfect. Roll your window down, stick your left arm out, and wave. Say thank you. You'll make that person's day, and I promise.
This was a paid program and was provided for informational purposes only.
2016.
Oh. 508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet.
Welcome back, everybody. Another hour of fun and frivolity. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. The phone number again is 602-508-0960. Now's the time to get in. The lines are open. And I want to ask you to do something for me. Because they're keeping track of the blue cups at the convenience store and the red cups, let's just mess with their thing. Okay, so when you go in, get the opposite of what you have. and we'll show that these kinds of polls really don't work. But I did get a text from a couple of my cowboy buddies, and they said, "We all have the blue cup on the dashboards of our trucks." And that just generates conversation. We get teased, blah, blah, blah. And they say it's a good thing. So tell people to continue to buy whatever cup they want. And like I said, we don't get into politics here. All right, what else have we got on tap here? We've covered lots of ground this first hour. I do want to touch base on Susan's one question, independents versus dealers. I have always said that you should have, well, this tells you how old I am. You should always have a relationship with the corner gas station, which now, who cares? You should have a relationship with an independent shop and with a dealership shop. You may have a relationship with a quick lube facility. It's okay. everybody can do what they want. Watch out for the high pressure sales, because right now, folks, we're spending $3, $4, $5 a quart for oil. We can't possibly charge you much more than you're going to see it advertised at Fry's and Bash's for. So it's there's no money in oil changes. The idea is we've got to take that ticket from $30, $40, $50, and we got to take it up to $100, $150 in order to make any money, because we just can't change oil all day long. So, and then you're going to find some price differences, but it may not be as big as you think it is. The dealer between the difference between the dealerships as an average, I'm not taking the real high ones that are $120, $130, $150 an hour. I'm talking about the average dealer and the average independent shop. The bill could be 20% different, but it's more likely to be 5 to 15% different. So it's not really worth it to run all over town for an $80 bill that might be 10% difference for $8. Okay? That's kind of how it is. And don't forget that the average labor on most tickets is about 3 hours. So if one shop is at $100 an hour and the other shop is at $104 an hour, the difference is $12. The difference between those two labor rates is $12. And if you have a relationship with a shop, and that arises, if a customer says to me, Mark, can you match that other shop's labor rate? Otherwise, Mark, you're going to have to give me a $12 discount. This is what I say to them. You get to do that one time. But why would you use it when the labor is only for 3 hours? Why don't you wait till we have a 20-hour labor job and then ask me to drop it $2 an hour? You can only do it once. Why would you waste it on something this small? They laugh, but I know they'll never ask for it again. And I know that I've made my point. But if they do come back and say, I have a 20-hour labor job, we have computers. Everybody knows on this date at this time, this is what Mark said. Or this is what our service writer said. This is what my wife said, my son, my daughter, or any of the great employees we have. That's important. Okay, we had somebody at the door. Was it Robert?
It is Robert. He's ready to come on in.
All righty, Robert. Come on in. Make yourself comfortable and tell me what you got on your mind.
Hey, good morning, sir. Hello from Payson.
Well, thank you. That's my second home.
Good. I have a new diesel pusher motor home, and it's the 6.4 liter Navistar. I'm getting rumors that I need to do a diesel fuel additive in that with the low sulfur or gasoline additive. Is that good information or bad?
What year's your motorhome?
2012.
Okay, no, the answer is no. You don't need any diesel additives. The only thing I would put in your diesel is I might use a product that would help me with any algae. If you're going to use the motorhome one month a year, I would want you to store it with some kind of additive in the diesel fuel that would allow you to help control algae, because algae will grow in diesel fuel. And I also want to tell you that you are best served if you store it full of fuel.
Okay,
but I speak from owning an RV since 1978. My kids have seen all 50 states. Of course, we didn't go to Hawaii in the RV because the props were messed up. But I've had diesel pushers, and I've had the 5.9 pusher, and I've had the 8.3 Cummins pusher. I've not owned a Navistar. But there's lots of rumors out there, and especially, Robert, when you get to the campfire at the KOA campground, and you got some yahoo there that has never met a subject he doesn't know about, and as he talks, everybody listens, and he starts telling you what you have to do. So it's a good idea to find somebody who has a little bit more credibility than he does before you start making all kinds of... But the answer is no. We put sulfur in the diesel fuel to lubricate the injectors. They yanked the sulfur out of the diesel fuel a couple years ago. Now, we did have a stretch from 2003 to 2007 where we had some problems with injectors on all the diesels. But today, we don't. And your 2012 is already set up for the absence of sulfur. And so they're going to lubricate the injectors either some other fashion, or they've redesigned them, so you'll be okay.
Yeah, I got that from a repair shop here in Payson, but that's beside the point. I have one more quick question if
sure.
You have the time.
I do.
I just bought a used 2004 Chevy 2500 HD. The standard tires are 245, 65, 16.
Okay.
I want to go to like a 285, 65. How big a tire can I go with? I don't even know what the size of the stock rims
okay.
are.
Okay. How often are you in the valley? How often?
Once a month.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to offer you. And I'm going to offer it to anybody. If you're going to do a tire change, or if you've already done a tire change, for free, I have the only software in the state of Arizona that allows me to punch in what tires came with your car, which is written on the tag on your car, then what tires you have. I'm going to tell you what your new inflation is for low, medium, and high. I'm also going to tell you exactly how far your speedometer is going to be off, and I'm going to tell you if they're going to fit your car without rubbing. For free. Because
okay.
I got to beta test this software. It is so astounding and so awesome. Here's the deal. If you have a 6,000-pound rear end underneath your Chevy pickup truck, you better have a 3,000-pound tire on either side of that rear end, because those two tires have to hold the gross weight. The gross weight, 6,000 pounds, so you better have two tires that are at least 3,000 each. They better be 32, 33 each. That's what we have to make sure. We have to make sure that the load rating is going to be okay, and if there's a change in speed rating, you know that. We don't charge for this anyway, but we sell massive amounts of big tires, big wheels. What you're talking about is something that we are absolutely experts in.
Okay.
I will literally replace the sticker. I'm not going to replace it. I'm going to put my sticker over the top of your sticker to give you new parameters for your new tires. And it's going to be backed by all the rules and regulations of the Department of Transportation, because I'm using the same math they use on everything else.
Well, I would like to get with the same width.
Yeah,
like to stay with the original rims, so it sounds like you have the answer.
No, you can stay with the original rims. As long as if you're going to stick with a 16-inch wheel, then we can't go too wide, because you're only going to be allowed so many inches wide on that stock 16-inch wheels. But we can go taller, and we can work this out. Here's what you need to tell us. What are you looking for? I'm not trying to sell you tires. Don't misunderstand me. I'm going to do the tag for you for free. I'm going to give you the new information so you can go out and find what you want. Or if you want some guidance from us, we'll be happy to tell you this will work. Then you're probably going to say, well, what kind of tires would you buy? And we're going to say, well, where are you going to use them? Is these off-road 50% of the time? Is it highway 90% of the time? Off-road 10%? You know, that kind of stuff. So that's important. But no, my wife drives around on 22-inch tires, 22-inch rim-sized tires. And the other day she said that there was this man that made her run off the road, and she hit a curb and cut one tire. But this Denali has all-wheel drive, and it has to have the same circumference on all four tires or it wipes out the transfer case. And the other three tires, they still had 33% of their tread left, but I had to buy all four because she cut one of the old ones, and I couldn't match the three old ones, so I had to buy four. So is that reason enough for divorce, you think?
It moved up the list.
Okay, all right. All right, well, listen, I am a we have a ranch up in Payson where we have some horses and stuff, and I really do like that place, and here's what I promise you in Payson. I promise not to move to Payson and tell all you locals how to live your life and how it's so much better in the valley. And I'm not going to tell you my political viewpoints, and I'm not going to tell you how you can better run your city government. I'm going to sit quietly, smile a lot, and enjoy my retirement. How does that sound?
You know more about Payson than you need to know.
You know what, though? I love it because people are so friendly up there, and we're at 5,000 feet. You guys, people don't understand that. You guys are, it's a 50-degree change day to night. I know. Well, you're right.
2 minutes.
You're right. But I want to tell you something. We have about 30 elk that come through our back meadow.
Oh, Lord, isn't that great?
Well, in September and October, you know that they're fighting and
and
having sex.
Love it.
Yeah, and
we live on the forest line, so I got that T-shirt too.
Yeah, and you know, just the other night I said to my wife, why are we got the windows open? And she says, well, because it's nice outside. So about 1 o'clock in the morning, I finally got up and shut the windows and said, turn on the air, and I say, hey, look, I'm not listening to that outside. Sounds like a frat party out there. I got to go to sleep.
Yeah, well, I guess I can go online and with just marksalem.com and find out what your shop is.
Yep.
1 minute.
Sounds like I'll be in touch.
Okay, well, I'd be happy to help you. I'd be happy to guide you, and I think I can accomplish your goals and put you in a position. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm here to help you. Okay? All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Robert. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. 508-0960. 508-0960. The lines are wide open. If you want to talk about your car, your horse trailer, your diesel motorhome, if you want to talk about raising cows, Holsteins, Herefords, Black Angus, if you want to talk about bulls, if you want to talk about elk, we can do whatever you want. But I do really need to have this job next week, so we'll kind of control some of that discussion during the rutting season. So 602-508-0960, my name's Mark Salem. When we come back in 10 seconds, we're going to take your call if you'll just give us a call. 602-508-0960.
Raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small.
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and you're listening to 960 The Patriot, KKNT. And if you'd like to join us, you can at 602-508-0960. Now, for those of you in Payson, we have a toll-free number, 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696 for my friends up in Payson. And tell me, who is at the door?
We got the one and only Bob ready to talk to you, sir.
All righty, Bob. Bob, good morning to you. How are you today? What can I do for you?
Good morning, Mark Salem. I've been listening to your program for a few years now, but glad to hear you're back on. I took a hiatus for a while, but I'm back at the old post again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words, and I'm glad that you're just north of the dirt.
Yes, we are. We're in the Northwest Valley.
Yep.
Okay, I've got a 1998 Taurus Ford. It's got 115,000 plus on it, and it's got the V6 front-wheel drive. And I've noticed over the last couple of months a loss in gas mileage from about in the city driving, maybe from 22, 23 down to about 19.
Okay.
And I noticed also that when I started up in the AM, after it sits all night, that it's really running awful rich in the mornings. And I can just about back out of the garage and go down the street about a half a block to the stop sign with my feet down to brake.
Okay.
And it smells like it's more fumes than normal. I can even get a chirp out of the front wheel drive every so often until that cools down.
It's more fun when you do that when there's a police car next to you.
Yes.
You know, that's just a whole lot more fun if you do that then.
Yeah, especially if you don't want to get a ticket. But I thought, talked to the dealership where I bought the car originally back in 98. We're all one owner in this family.
Uh-huh.
And it's never done that before. I used to be able to get 23, 24 in the city, 28 to 30 on the highway, and now I can't even come close to that.
Okay. Well, you've given me a pretty good clue because you say it seems to be temperature related.
Yes, it does.
Okay. First of all, this is the time of year where this complaint is something that dominates the entire screen in front of my eyes.
Mm.
Because we're transitioning. Now, if I'm the car maker, I have to put a line on a thermometer that says this is cold and this is hot. And I'm telling you right now, that line is between 68 and 72. Everybody uses the same. And right now, we're sitting here going on left of 72, and we're going to the right of 68. We're fudging both sides of that number. It appears to me that your car thinks it's really cold, so it could have a bad coolant temperature sender. It could have a bad harness or a clip, a harness that clips to the coolant sensor. That could be defective. Because when we lose sight of the coolant sensor, the computer is told that it's minus 40. So you can imagine how much fuel is going to be delivered at minus 40 and how fast that idle is going to be at minus 40.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
that is. Matches pretty good. But I would expect that you would say that you had a check engine light.
None.
Okay. Now, the car is a 98, so really and truly, this was Apple IIe compared to where we are in computer life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is Fred Flintstone computer time. So I'm not really sure whether or not it's going to take a while, but I know that it'd be pretty doggone easy, because here's what we're going to look for. We're going to plug in a scanner, and we're going to say, well, we want to see 6 to 8 grams of air in the morning first thing, and we want to see the coolant temperature to be equal to the ambient temperature. So if the ambient temperature is 68, I want the coolant temperature to be 68 first thing in the morning. So I want your car overnight. And when I get in there, I'm going to check the mass airflow sensor. I'm going to check the coolant to make sure it matches. And I'm also going to check the air intake sensor. What temperature is the air coming in? Because it should come in a little colder than ambient temperature. So if it's 60 outside, 68, I want to see 65 coming in. I also want to see fuel pressure regulator. This is good. I want to see that the pulse width of the injectors is appropriate. Those numbers mean something to us. So here's an injector first thing in the morning. I'm going to ask you, how does the injector sound when we relate it to a sprinkler head? Now, in the morning, you want more fuel. So is the injector going to go like this? Or is it going to go like this? That's what I'm looking for.
It's going the second, yeah. second example.
Exactly, because the engine's cold. And
right.
that other one was engine hot. So those are the things. So you're going to plug in the scanner. You're going to look at a whole bunch of numbers that don't mean anything to the normal person, but mean everything to those of us that know what those numbers are. And this is going to be something that's going to be pretty easy. You could have a dirty mass airflow sensor. You could have dirty throttle blades. You could have a bad fuel pressure regulator. You could have a bad coolant sensor or a connection to the coolant sensor. Those are the things it's probably going to be. Now, this is something because you say it runs rich and you can smell it.
I can smell it in the first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
But just to add a little flavor to the ice cream, that happened, the fall in mileage happened when it was like August and it was 110 to 15 out.
Okay. I need you to get this fixed, though.
Yes,
because
sir.
You're flooding the converter with fuel,
mm-hmm.
and if you wipe out the converter, then you're going to be in trouble.
I agree.
So, yeah, get it fixed. And let me tell you a converter story the other day. Guy comes in and says, what's the matter with my car? The shop diagnoses it correctly. They quote him $1,100 for a catalytic converter.
Oh,
he goes out and he finds one for $250. Now, at this point, there's a dispute because he wonders why they're converter so expensive.
Yes.
The shop says, I'm only going to buy a converter that's certified. I've already tried those $250 ones, and they don't go through warranty. B, they don't function very well. C, they turn on the check engine light all the time. And D, you'll be lucky to get through emissions.
Oh, brother.
So I'm not going to sell the $250 converter. I'm not going to sell the dealer, which is $1,600 for the converter or $1,200 for the converter. I have found a vendor that has certified converters that
I know
will work the first time, make it through warranty period, and do a good job in controlling the emissions. So just like everything else in the world, there's different prices for different levels of quality, and that converter story matches one.
I understand. I had spoken to my service advisor at the Ford dealership because I've done business there since we moved into the Valley 15 years ago, and he blamed partially my problem on the type of gas we're getting now from Texas.
You know, oh boy.
I know that throws a little monkey wrench or a little curveball at you, but that's
what he
said.
It doesn't. I ran a mobile station for 10 years.
Well, then you know a lot better than I do.
Well, let me tell you the quick story. When gasoline was really tight back in the 70s, I was running a gas station, and they were shipping us tankways out of California. So the guy pulls into the shop. He's got 9,000 gallons of unleaded. So he puts his hose in the ground, and he fills up my tank, and I check it. And yep, I got 9,000 gallons. And then he goes to his truck, and he opens up the passenger door, and he takes out a 5-gallon bucket. It's white, and it's 2/3 full with a white liquid. And he walks over, and he looks around, and he puts a funnel in the underground tank, and he pours that 2 or 3 gallons of white liquid into the tank, and then he looks at me, and he goes, Now you got mobile.
That's hilarious.
It's the truth. I swear it's the truth. So, I ask you, okay? We got a tank farm on the west side of town.
Yes, we do.
All the gasoline is the same, with the exception of some additives they all put in it.
That's what they all said. I used to bump into a Purex rep over at a certain hot rod shop that is no longer in business, and he said the same thing.
Okay,
it's
I got to cut you off because I got to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
D&B Auto Repair is... 03.
Get stereo tape and a color TV. Get a backseat bar and reclining seats. And just pay once a month like you do your rent.
I like that part right there. This is Mark Salem, man. You're listening to Under the Hood every Saturday here on 960. For 2 hours, 10 to 12, we're talking about your car. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by a good friend of mine, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Brian and Thelma, married couple, and when you meet them, you'll say to yourself, I wish Brian would have married my daughter. He's that kind of a guy. Of course, Thelma doesn't real happy when I say that, but really and truly, he's that kind of guy. You just have to meet him and look at him and talk to him to know that he is just a great guy. Thompson's is located on Main Street in Mesa, East Mesa, just east of Stapley, the south side of the road. They've been around since 1970. I think they're in their second generation of owners and operators. They do all kinds of major, minor repairs. And they're really good about telling you if they're not the best shop and making a referral to you. They're AAA approved. They're an ASE certified Blue Seal shop. And Brian is on the Tech Neck Council for CarQuest. And he was named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. So you can see why I'm proud to have Brian and Thelma from Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street in Mesa, just east of Stapley, on my list. Okay, Bob, we were going to talk real quick, and I want to make a suggestion to you and everybody else.
Go ahead.
This works well whether the story revolves around a dealer or an independent.
Yes.
So everybody know, I don't pick on dealers. Okay, I don't. They serve a wonderful purpose. There's good ones and bad ones, but I would never suggest that there's not good and bad independent shops. We're all in the same boat.
Right.
I mean, lawyers, what is it? Lawyers, U-car salesmen, and car mechanics are the three lowest guys in the food chain. Okay, I had two letters this week, and both of them said this. My car is a 2005 or 6, and it has 18, 20,000 miles on them. And I was told recently I need to replace my timing belt. I said to both of these people, now, I'm going to tell you a lie, and I'm going to tell you that they were talking about an... I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm just going to tell you they're talking about an independent shop. So what I would do is I would wait a couple of days, and then I'd call the shop back, and I'd say, I'm down here around the corner at a place that's just down the street from you. And he told me that my 5-year-old car, my 6-year-old car, needs to have a timing belt, but I only got 18,000 miles on it. What do you think about that? And that shop's probably going to just trample on his competition. But it's his shop that gave you that recommendation. You're just fibbing a little bit. So it works both ways. You can do that to independent shops. You can do it to dealers. You call one dealer says, do this. And you call two or three others. And what you have to do is you have to change the story to the opposite kind of repair shop in someone in their area. And you don't have to name names. So if Mark Salem said to a customer, you know, 18,000 miles, you need a timing belt. And then they call back 3 days later and happen to get one of my service riders. And one of my service riders may say, no. Timing belts don't wear out unless they're used. So they don't wear out in your garage and they don't wear out in your driveway. So if you only have 18,000 miles, your timing belt will be fine. In the 90s, it was true that time and mileage was important.
Yeah.
But in the 2000 year, in this decade, and the next decade, it doesn't matter anymore. The timing belt doesn't wear out sitting still. So you can go 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever your owner's manual says. So it's the same way with you, when you have a service rider, whether it's an independent or a dealership, and he starts telling me, well, if you'd use our oil, you wouldn't have an oil consumption problem. Then just call a couple of other dealers and say to them, the guy down the street says that if I start using his Valvoline instead of your Motorcraft, that I wouldn't have an oil consumption problem. See what they say.
I see.
So, all right, good luck to you, Bob. Thank you very much. Les, you're up next. How are you today, Les? What can I do for you?
Doing good. I do my own oil change.
2 minutes.
I got a 2007 Toyota RAV, Toyota FJ.
Okay.
and it's got the oil filter upside down, you know, on the top.
Yep.
And normally when I take it off, I see oil come out of it into that little cup and holder there. Uh-huh. I did an oil change, and I didn't see that. It came up. The inside of the oil filter looks like that oil, but it's dry.
Okay, don't use that filter brand anymore. It's not right for your car.
Okay.
There's a check valve for a filter that's mounted that way. And that check valve is supposed to hold the oil in there, and you just bought a filter. Probably not a name brand, but if it is a name brand, okay, then it's the application is incorrect.
Ah.
Okay? So you have to find one with a backflow valve.
1 minute.
Generally use the Fram MicroGuard, and that's what I've been in. They didn't have any problem, but this time, so it was just the wrong filter.
That's all it is. It's the wrong application. Now, when we do those upside-down ones, we poke a hole in the top of them, right off the bat. That way we don't have that big mess when we take the filter off. Because if you put a little air in that filter, it'll run down while you're going ahead and greasing it and checking the tire pressure and all that kind of stuff. That way when you take the filter off, it's a little cleaner job.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. Thank you very much. That's a good question. Thank you, Les. Ben, you know what, Ben? I can't do you justice. You and Bob, stay there, because we still got time. But I'm about 21 seconds away from another break at the 40-minute mark. And so when we come back, we're going to take Ben first, Bob second, I promise, and we'll be quick. Anybody else wants to join us after Ben and Bob? You can. 602-508-0960. 508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. The name of the show is Under the Hood here on the Patriot 960.
Mark Salem has...
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and you're listening to KKNT 960 The Patriot. And as we promised, we're going to go to Ben in just a second, but I want to tell you this last portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Full-service, family-owned auto repair shop, 38th Avenue in Indian School. So go Camelback south to the 10 between the West 101 and the I-17, and that's Larry Harker's area. If you live in that area or slightly outside those borders, then Larry Harker's is a great place to go. It's actually owned by Bob and Ellen Frisbee, but they're great people. They're honest, and you can look at both of them, and you know they're honest. They are just nice people, and they have your interest well in front of anything of their own. So, 38th Avenue, Indian School, Larry Harker's Auto Repair, trust the name for quality, good guys, honest as the day is long, and owned by Bob and Ellen. And you can tell them Mark Salem sent you as well. I make nothing off of these referrals with respect to you saying, oh, Mark Salem sent me. I trust me on that. Not a dime, not a penny. It's a situation where it just applies a little pressure to them. Okay, Ben, how can I help you today, Ben?
First, thanks, Mark, for all the good service you do and your humility.
Thank you. Thank you.
doing my homework research on Ford diesels. And I'm down to 7.3s. What do I look for? I got a couple I'm looking at. What do I look for defects?
It's not, and I agree with you. I agree with you. And I'm not going to beat up Ford any more than I always do all the time. And I got to tell you a secret, too. You know what chassis I have on my motorhome?
Yeah, I believe it.
Don't tell me. Don't tell anybody. What I would look for is I wouldn't look for any defects. I would look for an original owner. I would look for a guy who has all the maintenance records, has every gallon of gas he ever put in that, or that gallon of diesel fuel. I'd look at something that was a cream puff, and I wouldn't be scared of anything between 100,000 and 200,000 miles. I wouldn't be scared. I'd be interested in oil consumption, so I might want to take it for a 100-mile run. I'd put the dipstick right at the full mark. I would let it sit for 5-10 minutes, and I would make sure I marked the dipstick or added some oil to it to make it right at the full mark, and then I'd go drive it 100 miles, maybe 50 miles down the highway, 50 miles back, and then I'd look at the dipstick after I let it sit for the same 5, 6, 7 minutes. But the maintenance records, the original owner with the original paperwork, and all the documentation, that's the cream puff you want.
Okay.
Okay.
There's no other like blow by like on big diesels you check.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. You are right. You would look for blow by, because obviously you know that that means the cylinder walls, the pistons, or the rings are worn out. And if you see blow by underneath it, then you should see that oil and that blow by underneath the entire undercarriage of the vehicle, all the way back to the rear bumper and the tailgate, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
If you see that kind of stuff, then you need to drop your price in half.
Okay.
All righty.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thank you very much. Ben and Bob, how are you today? What can we do for you?
Mark.
Yes.
When you talk about that gas thing, when you see top-tier gasoline advertised, so you're saying that's just advertising?
No. It's true that the top-tier advertising has taken the government standard and tripled or quadrupled the amount of detergent in the fuel, but you'll notice the top-tier, I'm told, the top-tier doesn't apply to regular unleaded. It's only the mid-grade and the top-grade. I'm also very concerned that, so we're going to have one pebble of sand in a gallon of gas, and so you're going to make that, what, four times bigger? And then I want to know, where am I seeing the defect as I work on 10,000 cars a year? Where am I seeing the defect that this detergent's going to fix? What's this detergent going to do? Because it's a in my opinion, it's a marketing strategy to make us believe that their gasoline has scrubbing bubbles. And it's going to go in and clean the intake valves, clean the back of the throttle blades, clean the front of the throttle blades, clean the mass airflow sensor, and keep my car spotless on the intake side. And I suggest to you that, so what if it's dirty? I need symptoms. And the gasoline's not going to touch the mass airflow sensor. The gasoline doesn't touch the throttle blades. The gasoline touches the back of the intake valves, but why don't you just show me some of the tests that you've run? Show me what the difference is. Take some pictures of some really bad intake valves, and then run it 1,000 miles and show me pictures again. Why are we missing those? All right, did I make my point? Because you're welcome to argue with me. I'm okay with that.
Well, I just saw Costco, you know, they put the Tecron tanks in all their stations now. Is that so they can say it's top tier?
Well, top tier and Tecron's two different things. I tell people that my industry has said, guys in our industry have said, that if you have a Ford and the gas gauge acts erratic, the gas gauge is nothing more than a finger that goes up and down a piano teeth or piano keys, okay? Well, the Tecron in the Chevron, they say, will clean those keys up to where you'll have better contact. Now, I've had a couple of customers tell me that they did that and it worked for them. I'm not prepared to say that it doesn't work. I'm prepared to tell you that I've been told by people I respect that it does work. But Tecron is somewhat of a detergent, but it also has, I mean, Tecron will grow hair where you didn't have hair before. It'll whiten your teeth. It'll make your car run better. It'll add two cylinders. It'll clean up the exhaust pipe, and it'll double your fuel economy. You'll find all that stuff on all these gasoline additives, and they can't do it all. So we all get gasoline. It's pretty much the same, and right now we get good gasoline, and I'm not quite sure why we want to create this perception that we need to add something to the gasoline that's going to make it better for you. Because when you put these additives in your tank, you're not gaining anything. And if you are, show me. Show me something there that says that this is valid. But, you know, if I was running Chevron, I'd give the guy that brought up Tecron, I'd give him a big raise. Because he sells lots of gas for them. Whether it's true or not doesn't make any difference. That's what it's all about in the world is, you know, perception is reality most of the time. So from a technician's point of view, I want to say, show me a car that I'm going to have to fix that would not need the repair I'm going to do if they would have used your gasoline. That kind of makes it tough on them. So,
thanks,
all right, buddy. Thank you very much for bringing that up. If you want to vote, if you want to join a particular new political party, you can go to Facebook and join the Cowboy Party. And here's the position of the Cowboy Party, of which I'm the president. Number one, you only get to vote for one incumbent. Okay? Everybody has a favorite, so vote for one. Number two, if there is a lady on the ticket. Now, I said lady. I didn't say female and I didn't say woman. This is kind of discretionary. Lady on the ticket, we're going to vote for the ladies. And here's why. Because it costs more to buy a lady's integrity than it does a man's. and I don't think Monica or her brother would have been around if a lady would have been in the White House. I think the ladies will look after us better than the men do. And so the Cowboy Party only has two or three things. Number one, we're not voting for any incumbents. And number two, and they're suggesting, some of the guys are suggesting that we should say that we should vote our party, but I'm saying you can vote whatever you want. No incumbents, and if there's a lady on the ticket. Now, it's up to you to decide whether Nancy Pelosi's a lady or any of the rest of it. It's up to you. It's all in fun. But there are some serious people. But anyway, Cowboy Party on Facebook. And now you can find Mark Salem on Facebook, and you can also tag into that. I write a column for the Arizona Republic on Saturdays about car repair, and I also blog on a website called AZC, Adam Zebra Charlie, azcvoices.com/cars, and I blog there. And someone's on the phone. Okay, come on in.
Yeah, it's Dennis banging down the door here. Dennis. He wants to get on the show.
Dennis, that was a heck of a knock. That sounded like I was expecting, please open the door. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Last year we bought a Ford F-350 with 50,000 miles on it. And I really only bought it so we can hook it to a travel trailer that we bought afterwards. Because that's what we were hoping to do.
Okay.
And I only got like 5,000 miles on it. And a couple weeks back, I was going up to Flagstaff and cruising along, you know, just pulling up the hills because it was pulling great. And all of a sudden, the temperature gauge, it's a diesel, goes all the way up to, you know, from halfway, it just
shoots
and pegs over to the hot.
Okay.
And then, of course, then it says reduced power going up the hill. It reduces power. By the time we get to the crest of the hill, we're almost at the top anyway, and it goes back down to normal. I'm like, okay, great. So we're going up. We're getting up to Flagstaff, and it does it one more time. Go up there, check it out after we get to the KOA, and ended up putting checking the water. It was only a half a gallon of antifreeze. It was low. And I don't drive, like, for a year, I put 4,000 miles on this vehicle.
Okay.
And then coming back down the hill, it did it one other time. So I take it in the dealership because I bought an extended warranty on it, and all of a sudden they're telling me now it's the engine oil cooler.
Okay, that's right. They're right.
They are right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm having issues with the warranty company because the warranty company was like, well, we don't know if this is really it, and we don't want to tear it apart, and they're like hem-hawing. I did buy it from a non-Ford dealership out here in Litchfield and Waddell. So they sent it to one Ford dealership over here. They says, well, we'd have to tear it apart, and, gee, we're going to need some money if we that's what we do, because the warranty company is hem-hawing. So then they sent it to another one.
All right, and hey, of course it, you're making, you know, a commercial for me. Why not,
all right.
Why not to buy it? This is exactly
what I know. I'm sitting there going, what did I do?
No, you bought an aftermarket warranty, and this idiot, well, excuse me, Lord, excuse me. Forgive me for using those bad words. This gentleman from the warranty company, he's saying to you, in so many words, look it, Dennis, if you want to go in there and prove to us after we send this guy who's a genius, this guy we pay $8, $10 an hour to, that if he worked at Mark Salem shop, he'd make $100,000 a year. But he's the best technician in the whole world. He happens to be a retired woodworker. And we're going to send him over there. But if he doesn't agree, then you'll have to pay all of that.
Right. Labor.
So right. We don't pay diagnosis. We only pay for the repairs. Now, here's what you got to do. You got to look Ford in the eye and you go, hey, boys, time to get off the middle of this fence.
Right.
If it's the cooler, you tell him it's the cooler.
Right.
That's all there is to it. If it's the cooler, you tell them, it's the cooler. I'm telling you it's the cooler. I didn't even need you to tell me anymore. It's the cooler.
Right. Right.
And one of the byproducts of the cooler is we're going to have, typically, we're going to have a little bit of oil in the gas, a little bit of gas in the oil, and we're probably going to grow the oil a little bit, and it's going to go over the full mark and before it was, you know, right where it was supposed to.
Sure.
There are some specific symptoms for the oil cooler, and I don't think the Ford dealer's going to do it, but there's also an EGR delete that you can do because the EGR cooler's underneath there too. And really and truly, they don't know if it's the EGR cooler or the oil cooler. Nobody really knows, but you're going to go do both of them, or maybe not, or maybe you replace both of them. We have the ability to replace the EGR cooler, or we have the ability to delete the EGR cooler, and you can decide what you want to do. But
right.
You're going to have to get somebody to stand up and pound their chest and say, hey, look, aftermarket warranty company, it's the cooler. That's all there is to it. We'll give you an estimate. We're going to fix it. You're going to pay us, and that's going to be the end of it.
If
it isn't fixed, then we'll fix it for free. That's
right.
That's it. So stop guessing. Somebody step up. Crawl off the fence and put on your big boy panties and tell somebody what's wrong with my truck.
Right. Yeah, it's all the political garbage that's getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're not done yet because they're going to want oil changes from you for the rest of your life. They're going to want transmission services, and you're going to say, what does a transmission service have to do with an oil cooler that sits under the intake manifold right behind the high-pressure pump? Yeah, it's in your manual. You have to have all your maintenance records up to... Wait a minute. I've got an engine problem, and you're worried about my transmission? Yes.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. That always happens. You made a beautiful commercial for me. Thank you very much, because this is exact. How much did you pay for that?
The vehicle?
No, pay the aftermarket warranty.
Oh, I think it was probably like $2,000.
Okay. Well, you're going to get your money out of almost all of it this time, but not before they run you through the ringer.
And
you're going to be like flat as a pancake after you go in and out of the ringer.
Oh, I hear you. They want me to put a black box on the car, take it home and, on the vehicle, and drive it around. I says, oh, you want me to drive it to Flagstaff again, too, just to see if it's going to do it and then hit the button?
Hey, just tell them this. Just say, you know, I'm scared to death. I could blow that thing up. And then you'd
That's
have to
what
buy
I was saying.
Motor. And you don't want to threaten them, but what happens if it blows up on the way?
Yeah.
Do I get a new engine? Okay, you're on your own, Dennis. Thanks for calling, buddy.
All right. Thanks.
Anybody else got questions, you can go to marksalem.com. My email address is mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem. If you're too shy to come on the radio, then you can email me. I answer all the questions myself, and I'll be in all of next week. This is the end of the show. For 2 hours, we have fun and frivolity here. You can see me on Facebook. You can email me at mark@marksalem.com. You can friend me. You can do anything you want. I like it. And I'm here to help you and your interests are in front of anything of my own. So God bless you. See you next Saturday right here.